I'd like to read with you, please, in John chapter 7. John chapter 7. And beginning at verse 53. John 7 and 53. And every man went unto his own house. Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now, textual issues aside, and I'm quite comfortable with this being part of Holy Scripture, I want to look at this section together of how Jesus dealt with this woman and, more importantly, how he dealt with these men. I want to speak about how to disarm stone throwers. Now, I've never been in a situation before where I've thought I might need to disarm someone who may be holding a gun or a knife. Maybe you've allowed your mind to think about what you would do if you were in such a situation like that. And there are classes that you can take that provide training to help disarm a person that might be holding someone at gunpoint. I hope I'm never in such a situation, and I've never taken a class to help me, although I have watched a YouTube video. And you know what that means. It means that some of you are now car mechanics, right? Because you watched a YouTube video and now you can change your oil. It means some of you are dental hygienists and you know how to perform certain things. Well, I did watch a video. I don't remember much about it. But now the likelihood of having to disarm someone about to fire at someone else is, I think we would all agree, statistically very low. But the likelihood of being around people, even believers, that are armed and ready to fire at other believers is very high. Those of us here in the United States, we might like our Second Amendment, and our right to bear arms is fiercely upheld by some. But our arms are not guns made out of metal, but sometimes they are stones, and they inflict just as much damage or more. Like some people with their guns, we like to have as many as possible. But we don't bring people out, we don't collect them to show them to other people, but we collect them, sadly, to throw at other people. And so our story, yes, is a story of a woman caught in adultery and facing the stones of her would-be executioners. But it is also a story of how Jesus, the one who gave the law himself, the lawgiver himself, disarmed a small army of stone throwers and changed this woman's life. I'd like to think that maybe he changed a few of those lives of the men that once held the stones in their hands. So I want you to look at this woman first. She was sinking like a stone. That was her life. Her life had spiraled out of control, and perhaps she never intended to get where she was right here, but here she is. Maybe she was disappointed with her marriage for whatever reasons. She had become unfaithful to her husband. Maybe the fault was hers. Maybe the fault was his. Maybe the fault was both. But eventually, she gave herself to someone else, and she broke God's law. She was a lawbreaker. And the punishment under the law was for this act to be stoned with stones. And it may be that her unfaithfulness continued for quite a while. We're not really sure. But others were getting suspicious. The very fact that these men were outside waiting to take her out would indicate that that's the case. People were getting suspicious. And then one night, it happened. Outside the door, men were waiting and they were watching. And when they obtained the proof that they needed, they pounced. It is quite unthinkable to imagine men going into someone else's house and doing what they did. But they did. They rush in. They drag her out. I imagine this woman's probably screaming. She's crying. There's probably tears. Maybe she's begging for mercy. If she's begging for mercy, she's begging from the wrong people. These men don't really care about her at all. She is merely a tool for them to get who they're really after, right? And that's the Lord Jesus. That's the person that they're after. And so they drag this woman, maybe kicking and screaming, to the Lord Jesus. They drag her like an object to the Lord Jesus. And she feels like an object. Yes, she has sinned. Yes, she has violated the word of God. And now is going to face what she fears is capital punishment for her crime. But she feels like an object. She is a stone. She's sinking in the sea. And she has landed on the bottom. And as far as she can tell, her life is finished. Her life is over. And she can almost feel the stones crashing upon her body. Maybe if you were to ask her if she'd just like life to be over and she could take her own life, maybe she would. That's the woman of our story. So I just want you to, that's just the setup to think about what happens next. Sinking like a stone. Next, I want you to think about these men. And these are men with, honestly, hearts of stone. They don't really care about her. I don't know that they care much about anybody. They might care about the people that are within their circle, but their hearts are not warm to those that are outside of it. They come with this woman. They're dragging this woman. And they tell Jesus that she has committed adultery, that she was caught in the act, and they have the scripturally necessary two or three witnesses. So they have an airtight case against this woman, and more importantly, they think they have an airtight case against Jesus himself. They have found someone who has broken the law, and they know the law very well. Speaking of the law, as well as they know it, they don't care about keeping it all. Just about the part that pertains to getting what they want, right? They brought this woman. That's it? Just the one woman? Just her? Where's the other person? Where's the other party? They're not really interested in bringing the other party. They don't follow the law completely, only the part that they care about, because they really don't care about people. They have hearts of stone. They care about advancing their cause. That's their concern. Now, their thought process is probably something like this. And they think they have Jesus. They think they have him trapped, right? If Jesus shows mercy to this woman, then we can show that he's soft on the law of Moses. That he doesn't really have a desire to honor the word of God. If he shows mercy to this woman, we can show he's not a keeper of the law of Moses. And we will have him. But, on the other hand, if he condemns this woman to be stoned, all of these people that speak of him as the friend of sinners, they're not going to be interested in following him anymore. He will lose his following, but either way, we have him. Laughable to think that men with human wisdom can stop and take down the one who is the all-wise God. So they pick up stones, either physically. They might need the Roman law behind them. Either physically or figuratively, they pick up the stones and they're ready to throw at this woman. Now, I wonder about these men. I thought, is this the way these men always were? Were they always like this? Were they always so hard? Were they always so cold in their hearts? I mean, think about what their quote-unquote job is, right? Think of their job. They're familiar with the Word of God. They read it. They study it. They memorize it. Were they always like this? Did they used to be different? When they first, if you will, signed up to be used in service for the Lord, did they have hearts that were warm for God and for His Word and maybe even for His people? Well, if so, something definitely had changed. Whatever knowledge they may have thought they had gained over the years had really just filled them with pride. Maybe we just stop here and ask, anything changed with you over the years? Think about the moment when you were saved, when all you could think about was, I'm lost. I want to know Christ. I want peace. I want forgiveness. Go back to that moment, whenever it was. Did not your heart burn within you in love for Christ? And you know, maybe even love for His people. Even with all the problems they had. They don't have any problems now, right? But back whenever you were first saved, did your heart not burn in love for the Lord and for His people? Anything change? Well, you've learned a lot since then, right? You've read the Word of God. You have maybe read the Word of God dozens of times. Can I just ask us all this question? Have we grown in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ? Sometimes we pray that for our children. I do. We're tucking them in bed at night. Lord, we pray that they'll grow in grace. And in the a new believer, we might say that about. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Are we growing in graciousness? And it's linked with knowledge of Christ. Those two go together. Grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. Do we love the Lord's people? Do we have hearts of stone? Have you been filling your pouch with stones ready to throw them at people when they mess up or disagree with you? What's the temperature of our hearts, brothers and sisters? So here were men with hearts of stone. And here's a woman sinking like a stone. I want you to look, though, at these men now. They're armed with stones. They've either picked them up in their hands physically. It's kind of hard to know. Or they at least are figuratively, they're holding them and they're ready to use them. You have any stones in your hand, brother, sister? It's no surprise. None of what I'm saying is a surprise, but there are some assemblies that are being devastated by stone violence. And maybe there's not as much joy there as there used to be. And yet somehow there's some strange delight in finding fault with one another and waiting for them to make the next mistake so that you've got one up on him or her, and passing judgment on other believers or even on other assemblies that do things that we would never do in our assembly. Stones hurt. They hurt the Lord's people. We all probably are guilty to it to some extent. The children are coming into meeting. Here they come, right? Oh. The kids that never take them out of meeting, right? They're so loud, you can hear them from six blocks away as they're making their way to meeting. And now they're in meeting, and they're doing it again, and they're not leaving. Please, by the way, if you have children that are making noise, you can take them out. It's not against any rule, right? But the little look that you cast across the room, right? That was a stone. It hit. And it hurt. We do it. Someone didn't take part in the meeting again. Sister, we didn't hear from you this morning, right? Right? Maybe you've heard that one too. And it hurt. It was a stone. Finds its mark. Did you hear about the such and such assembly and what they did? Then we have to talk about it and form a little group and who's on which side and the other side. Shame on us. What are we doing? In God's name, what are we doing? We're allowing the devil to do his work of division among the Lord's people. We become distracted. And he's laughing at the distraction. And listen, when we throw a stone, it's not like going to target practice. I can go to target practice and miss with a gun every single time I pull the trigger. But when we throw stones, they always hit. They always hit. And they always hurt. And they might hit more than just the one person that we intended it to hit. The assembly is never to be a shooting range. You know what? It ought to be a safe place to go when someone's been hit. Philip Yancey tells the story about a prostitute who came to a friend of his in desperate straits. And like this woman of our story, she was sinking like a stone. Certainly she had sinned. She had lived a terrible life of sin. She was homeless. She was sick. She was a drug addict. She couldn't buy food now for a two-year-old daughter that she had. And so Phil's friend asked if she ever thought about going to church for help. And he would never forget the pure look of shock that came over her face. She says, church? Church. He says, why would I ever go there? I was already feeling terrible enough about myself. They just make me feel worse. Now, I hope we don't make people feel like that. I don't think so. But if we do, shame on us. Jesus never made people feel like that. In fact, why is it that women like this often were found, they ran to Jesus? Look at the New Testament and all the stories of women and coming to the Lord Jesus with their needs and his compassion and his mercy. And whereas now people like this run away from his followers. Maybe it's because they either see or they sense that we have stones in our hand and we are going to use them, or that maybe our hearts are made out of stone. Now I want to hurry to my last point. It's my longest one. I want you to think about the Lord Jesus, because by what he did and by what he said, he was able to get these men to disarm. If God raises up men and women to get others to disarm, we can be thankful for it. They're waiting for his answer, right? We found this woman in the very act of adultery. We've got the obvious, necessarily two or three witnesses. Moses in the law says that she should be stoned. What do you say? Oh, we have got him. We have got him. It doesn't matter which direction he goes, we have got him. And he doesn't say a thing, but he starts to write in the sand, right? He stoops down on the ground and he's writing in the sand. I'd love to know what he was writing in the sand, wouldn't you? I don't know what he was writing. I know some have said maybe he was writing out a list of the men's sins. That the same one who with his finger wrote etched into the stone tablets the law is now writing in the sand a record of these men's sins. Maybe he did. Well, even, you know what? If he did, the good thing is it was in sand. And eventually it would be blown away, right? But he's writing on the ground. I don't know what he was writing. But it's not the important part. Eventually, he addresses this small army around the woman. They're insistent. They think the fact that he is silent means he doesn't know what to say. We really do have him. He doesn't know what to say. He's just writing on the ground. And so they bring out the object. They bring forward the evidence again. Moses and the law commanded us. Rabbi, master, teacher of the law, that she should be stoned. What do you say, teacher? We're waiting for a lesson. We're waiting for a lecture. Well, they're going to get one. He says to the small army that's all ready to pounce, he says, go ahead and stone her. But one last thing. Let the man that's without sin throw first. And now you talk about a moment of silence. And maybe it took a minute to sink in, but his words did sink in. And suddenly this little army didn't know what to do. And a stone fell to the ground, either physically or figuratively. A stone falls to the ground, and then another one, then another one. And the text says that beginning at the oldest and then to the youngest, the army retreats. Maybe what Jesus said touched them deeply, certainly convicted them. That's what the text says, convicted in their own conscience. They thought about their own faults. They thought about their own flaws. They thought about their own sins. It's really easy to get all upset about other people's faults and sins, isn't it? And not think at all about our own. And that's where the Lord Jesus directed these men to think about their own sins. And beginning at the oldest, the army retreats. He got them to let go of their stones. We need people who can get other people to put the guns down, okay? Put the stones down. For some reason, we feel that we must let people know that we disapprove of their behavior, that we disapprove of their decision, or at least let others know. Maybe we wouldn't dare say anything directly to them, so we will talk about it amongst a comfortable group, and we will gossip about how much we disapprove of the behavior or how much we disapprove of a decision. Put the gun down, brother. Let go. Put the rock on the ground. We have the potential to bring great harm to other believers. And some have already brought great harm. And another stone may just be the knockout blow. Get rid of your pouch of stones. Drop them on the ground and walk away, as an officer might say. Sometimes we keep them in reserve where we can reach them quickly if we need to use one. And just in case I need to keep them in place, leave them behind. And don't go back to retrieve them. Some are carrying stones here to throw at particular individuals when you get an opportunity. You say, oh, wow. Sometimes it's a parent, a mother, or father that brought disappointment in your life. And in some particular way, when you were growing up, they did not raise you the way now you look back and say, I wish I had been raised. And so every once in a while, you hurl a stone at mom or dad just to let them know that they hurt you and to also keep them at a distance. Put the stones down. Some are carrying stones to throw at fellow believers because they hurt you in the past. And you're just waiting. And you have fantasized about the opportunity to fire that stone with such precision and force that they will never forget what they did to you. You're going to let them know. Brother, put the stone down. Put it down. And if you've already thrown it, the harm's been done, but the Word of God says we can make things right. It's going to take a lot of work, and it's going to take a lot of grace. But you're a Christian, and it's one thing that Christians do. They grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. And so you can go and make things right, and you can go and ask for forgiveness. I don't doubt there are many soft hearts in the audience here today. The men have all either physically put them on the ground or they're not going to move forward with any prosecution. And after all the stones are on the ground, it's just this woman and Jesus. And it's amazing, isn't it? That someone that was truly without sin, who could throw a stone, refuses to do it, right? He says, whoever's without sin among you, you go ahead and cast the first stone at her. And they all leave. Here's one who really is without sin, who made the law, who said what the consequences of breaching that law should be and were to be. And he refuses to do what these men were anxious to do. Don't miss the ending. He said, what did Jesus say? Jesus says to her, go and sin no more. He doesn't condone sin. The Lord Jesus never condoned sin. You know what he did? He suffered for sin. He paid the price for sin. He died for sin. And he would die for hers. Doesn't condone it. The death that she deserved multiplied many times over. He himself would die. He would pay the penalty. He would pay the price. But he does say this. He says, go and sin no more. Go and sin no more. And when he says that, I hear at least two things in his command. First, it tells me that he knew what she had done. He knew what she had done. She had sinned. He takes their word for it, right? They have the two or three witnesses that are necessary, and they bring their case to the Lord Jesus, and he believes the record. He believes the word. And he knows that she had sinned. He knows what she had done. He knew what she had done. He knows what we've done. But you know what? I like the second thing that this command implies. Yes, he knew what she had done, but also he believed that she could have a future. He believed that this woman could have a future. Go and sin no more. Are we like that with other people? Are we like that with others? Do we believe that they can have a future? Or do we pull out a stone every once in a while to remind them that we know what you did wrong? I imagine that they thought that stones were going to change things. Whether it was going to make a case against Jesus, or whether it was going to strike fear into the heart of this woman and that she would never do what she did again. But stones don't change people's lives. They ruin them. I do know this. The man in this story, Christ, the living stone, he can change lives. He changed ours. Didn't he? Is he still changing us? Or was that just for salvation? And now we can live as we please and do what we want with our bodies and with... Is he still changing us? Is he still making us more and more? Are we yielding ourselves to him that we might become more and more like the Lord Jesus? Are we still growing in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? He changed her life. I would love to think that perhaps he changed a few of those men. That would be wonderful. That they were convicted by what they were about to do. And maybe it drove them back into the very law that they were so familiar with. Maybe they needed a reread. Maybe they need to read it again. But whatever the case, we need more men and women that can do what Jesus did here. He got others to put down their stones. As I see the stones rolling out of the hands of these men, I think of another stone that Jesus was responsible for rolling away. And that stone revealed the fact, that stone of his own tomb revealed the fact that Jesus lives. And he still lives. And he lives in his people. And his spirit gives us the power to do many of the things that he lived and to live the kind of life that he lived. And one of those things is to be gracious and forgiving, to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus. It'd be wonderful if we each individually decided to personally disarm. That'd be great. And we're not going to say what we want to say. And we're not going to react in the way that our flesh would have us to react. If you choose personal disarmament, thank God. But may God use you to get others to lay down their arms also. May the Lord bless his word.